Christian Parenting.
Welcome to the Christian Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, Steph Thurling. I'm the Executive Director of Christian Parenting, a mom of three, and I am so glad that you're here. This is a place where you can bring your real self, no matter what that looks like today, and be given the space, resources, and encouragement you need to set aside perfection and grow into the perfectly imperfect parent God made you to be. I know as a mom, it is so easy to put everybody else's needs ahead of yours. And I know this because I do it too. But when hormonal changes start to take a toll on your body, it is definitely time to start taking care of you. Hormone health is so much more than just a few symptoms. It affects everything from your mood to your energy levels to how you cope with stress. If you're a woman, you know how easily hormones can get out of balance, especially with all the daily stresses of life. And when that happens, it can feel like everything else is off too. But what if there is a simple habit that you could add to your routine that could make a huge difference? That's where Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth comes in. Happy Mammoth, the company that started Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, especially moms. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. The results are so impressive, you guys. There are over 40,000 reviews on their website, and women cannot stop talking about it on social media and in real life too. I know so many people who use Hormone Harmony and absolutely love it. In fact, a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code CPPODCAST at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code CPPODCAST for 15% off today. Hey friends, thank you so much for joining me today. I am sitting down with Tara Mattson, who is such a friend to Christian Parenting. Tara is a licensed marriage and family therapist, an executive coach, and the author of the book Courageous, Being Daughters Rooted in Grace. And she also partnered with Christian Parenting to develop the Helping Moms Raise Confident Daughters courses. She's a mom of two girls and just someone that I really look up to as a mom and a woman of faith. And today we talk about performance-based parenting. We talk about what that even means and the truth that being human is messy and it doesn't always look perfect. So sometimes we try to become perfect and performance-based, but the message of the gospel is actually the opposite of that. So how do we raise our kids with this in mind? How do we help them through struggles and point them to Jesus and His grace? And we also talk about the importance of doing our own work in this area so that we can help our kids discover their identity in Christ. I know you're going to love Tara and everything that she has to share with you. Hey, Tara, how are you?
Good to see you, Steph. I'm loving being in this space with you.
Thank you so much for being on here. Just such a friend to Christian Parenting. And I love talking with you. So I'm just really thrilled that my listeners get to hear from you today and learn from you. I think they're just really going to love our time together. So thank you.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah. So I like to start by asking all my guests just to talk a little bit about themselves and their families, since it's Christian Parenting. So can you just tell us about you and about your family, who you live with, and then can you describe your family in that one word or phrase?
That's always a fun question. Okay, so a little bit about my family. I'm married to Jeff Mattson, who also is my business partner, but we've been together a little over 25 years and married a little over 22 years now together. We were college sweethearts, and we have two daughters, 14 and 16. My oldest, Adonaiya, is wise, old soul. And my youngest, Nevaeh, is just a passionate lover. She's just draws people to her. And it's just been fun to watch them grow up over the years. I am a trained marriage and family therapist, and I got some wonderful training before I became a parent in play therapy and in trauma. And it really shaped a lot of how I really went into parenting. But it has been a hazard at times because you kind of think about all the problems in the world and all the potentials. So my poor girls, they kind of probably know more than they need to know about the world out there.
At least you're informing them. And you do it so gently.
At least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know if you ask them, you know, Nevaeh not too long ago, she's a freshman in high school, so give you that context, but not too long ago said, "Mom, not everything is about sex or the devil." Is that really what you've been getting from me all these years? So when your kids mirror back what they think they're hearing, it's kind of a reality check.
Really? So. Okay. We can tone that down a little bit, maybe. Okay. So with all of your experience raising your girls and as a marriage and family therapist, what is one thing that you want every parent to know?
Honestly, that there is so much that God does despite us. We put too much pressure on ourselves, and I'm passionate about helping parents be intentional with their kids and pursuing them in relationship. But it's so much less about the manners and the, you know, constant teaching our kids to be responsible. They're just so much more about learning to be known and having to do repair and how we forgive each other and how we're honest about where we're at. That is what really teaches our kids more about God's heart for us and prepares them for a hard world, but to be able to breathe the good and the beauty in that world. Just less pressure on us and more leaning into who God is and how he's showing up. So pay attention. I'm always in awe of who my girls are and what he's doing and how he's even using the mistakes that I make in their lives. I think if we can pay more attention there, it grows our own faith in our God and we have less anxiety.
You know, it's so funny. It's just yesterday when I was driving my kids to school, my oldest was like, "Hey mom, remember when you used to threaten us like every other day with sending us to manor school?" Yes,
threatening works really well, Steph.
It does. And I clearly followed through a lot. So they mirrored back what I was saying.
Yeah. Remember when you never did that?
Remember when you told us you were going to and you didn't? And our table manners still aren't that great. But, you know, that's all right. It's not about perfection, right?
Mm-mm. It's not. And we definitely all have different values and different passions. And I think knowing what those are and trying to stay in that lane is a part of discovering who God made us to be and our contribution in the world. Mm-hmm. It's literally like a church staff. So I do executive leadership and leadership training. And so child development is very much like working as an org team. And if you work on a church staff, you kind of think your department is the most important. So children's ministry, like we need more funds, we need more volunteers. But if you're the teaching staff, you know, oh, nope, it's about Sunday morning. And I think we're like that as parents. Sometimes we each have a bent or a passion because of our stories, our families of origin, our personalities, the part of our culture. And to realize that that is probably God's passion for you and your kids, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's for that mom over there. So if you're passionate about manners, go for it. And your kids are going to help the world with better manners. But not every family, that's going to be the cornerstone of their home.
Yeah. That's such a good reminder. So if anyone is passionate about manners, raise your kids with good manners. Mine will be okay. today, I kind of want to talk to you a little bit about that kind of perfectionism and the expectation that we put on ourselves and our kids. And I really want to talk about performance-based parenting because we live in a world that is driven by social media and by busyness in comparison. So in some ways, we do live in this world where we see everyone doing everything. We want to be just like all of them. But then in other ways, we do live in these little bubbles, kind of like a church where you're working just on your kids' ministry staff or just on the teaching staff. So there's kind of just a lot to process and how we process that all. And I just think we put that on our parenting, we put it in our kids. And we're just always trying to be ahead of the game and get the best results. And it's just hard to navigate all of the things in this world. So when I say like performance-based parenting, first of all, like what does that mean? And then how do we know if we're doing it?
Mm-hmm. Great question. Okay. So performance-based parenting is really about looking on the outside of how our children are doing in the world. So what are the grades they're getting? How are their manners? Are they functioning? Are they getting out of bed and showing up to school? Are they not melting down? I mean, all these in the grocery store, every parent has had that happen at a point or two. And I think the idea that we're trying to create these little perfect little Christians in the world that are going to be a light on the playground. And unfortunately, when the pressure is on how we perform, we've really taught our children what Galatians is all about. You know, the Jews came to Jesus and the gospel and the grace that this is nothing but the blood of Jesus that has saved us. It's by faith and faith alone and by what God did for us, not what we do for him. And they took that and then started adding more rules and kind of what it should look like. And we should go back to circumcision. And Paul is like, hey, church, remember, don't forget that this is about God who grows the fruit in us and not about what we're doing. So whether you're circumcised or not, God loves you. There's grace. And performance-based parenting, we get caught up in trying to look good, right? We've all been arguing in the car, and then we show up to church, and we have one big happy smile. We care that our hair looks really good. And it's a tendency for those of us that are drawn to beauty. It's a tendency for those of us who grew up in image-based families, especially people who have had like narcissistic systems. That's what narcissism is all about, is about image. And it just is, it creates a hollow place where we can't feel what we feel. We can't think what we feel. We can't be human because it just doesn't look good. It's really messy. And the counter, the gospel message, is really a different kind of message. And so it's easy to become performance-based, especially if you're really good at some things. Like maybe you're just really good at looking good on Sunday morning. You've got good style. You have great hair. You have the like perfect lip color. But it doesn't work that way for everyone. And we really want our kids to feel like they can be who they are and God delights in them. And part of the journey of parenting is helping our kids to discover their place in the world and their fingerprint that God has in shining and developing. And also that he loves them on their good days and on their not so good days, on their when their hair looks really great and when their hair doesn't look that great.
I know you can tell you have girls and I have two older boys. So in my head, I'm like, you know, we do this in, which we do. I know we do it with hair and all the image. We totally do. But I also think, like, I look at my sons are baseball players, and I think it's so tempting also to see like what they do in their sports. And when, as soon as someone says like, oh, they're really good at this, then it's like, oh, great, let's do the travel team. And now there's an option to do like extra training and all of this extra stuff. And it just becomes their whole identity because all they ever do is their sport or activity or their music, whatever it is that they do. You know, it's just so easy to push our kids into that because there's so much available to families.
Yeah. And honestly, that's about us parents more than it's about us kids. I mean, it's the number one thing we have to address in our counseling offices with our staff is we're all hearing how over-pressured and how too busy the kids are. And ironically, everybody swore they wouldn't go back to that after COVID.
Totally.
But I think we literally were, you know, when you're starving and you overstuff yourself with food, I think that's what happened with the pendulum swing. But there is an image, and honestly, parents who struggle with their own sense of value and worth are going to be tempted in this way even more. Mm-hmm. And if we haven't done our own story work, meaning what were my wounds in middle school? What happened for me in high school? How did I feel insecure? If I've not done some work there, it's going to get triggered all throughout your children's lives. And you're going to see yourself trying to reenact that out. And I know that sounds like psychobabble for some, but it's very real when we start to slow down and to let the Lord search us and show us and to go, this is more about you, mom and dad, than it really is about your kids when we start trying to make their identity about something they're really good at.
Yeah. What do you think it does to our kids when we focus on like the performance and the look and the image?
Well, it really teaches them that that's what God cares about. That's not true. That's not a biblical worldview, at least a gospel-centered one. It's actually more of like a, I won't go there. I'll be gentle on that side. I won't name what it is, but I will say what it is, and is it's teaching our kids that God is about how we look. And when I read the scriptures, especially the Psalms, we'll start there. King David was a massive sinner. He really did a bunch of really not so good things. And yet he's called a man after God's own heart. And what is so great about David, and yeah, he was good at a lot of things. He was a good king and probably handsome. And he was a songwriter. I mean, he did some good things. But his identity was really wrapped in God loves me even when I mess up. And so he came back to God and was honest with him. I think that's what I want to see most with my kids, and what I'm trying to help other parents with is when we mess up, what do we do with that? And a man or a daughter after God's heart is someone who says, if I mess up, I know how to come back versus trying not to mess up and keep it all in one place. And so learning, not making a team is really good for our kids, though it's painful to go through. Having a coach who benches them is really good for their character development, but super hard on the image. And maybe you have a kid who's always successful, right? They just, everything comes easy to them. You want to pray for times where they get challenged, because the pressure to always perform builds and builds, and we see a break either college time or sometimes in their 30s and 40s where they literally rebel at that point. And they're like, I'm done doing everything right. And they leave their families and it goes crazy, right? So let's practice when they're small and let them have a difficult situation, a difficult friendship, not always do it right, and then learn how to own and repair along the way. And it's hard. I mean, in theory, we're all like, yeah, but in real time, that's a really hard place to go with our kids.
Yeah. Okay. So like really practically, let's pretend that one of your daughters is going through one of these difficult times, like doesn't make the team or gets rejected by some girlfriends at school or something. Like, what are some things you can say to help them walk through that so that it becomes not about the image, not about, you know, what that does to her image, but is about her as a person and growing?
Yeah. I don't have to pretend. It happens. I mean, honestly, if we're creating a space in our families where our kids talk to us, and we're not lecturing them right away, we're listening to them, then they'll tell us, you know. So one, not too long ago, it's probably one of my youngest, biggest friend situations. And a girl was gossiping about her, and she came back from a vacation, and all of a sudden, none of these girls were talking to her. Mm-hmm. Now, this is my passionate lover who's really good with people. She's gifted with people. So she's like, what did I do? What happened? And it was just a jealousy issue, which is what happens amongst girls. So for a good 3 hot days, she was outcast and had no clue what had happened. And so it was painful. I wanted to go and get all those mamas together and make it right and tell them all, this is how we do it. That's what I wanted to do. I might have done a little of that, so I'm confessing. Okay. But what I was trying to do with her in the moment was let her cry. Validate how painful that is to feel like you have no way to repair with people that you thought loved you. It didn't hurt as much that that friend gossiped about her, but what her other friends who knew her, they didn't stand up for her. Mm-hmm. That hurt more for her. Mm-hmm. And so we had to process. I let her, struggle through that. And the temptation would be, they're not your friends, you're done, you know, and defend her. But I did have to press in and say, did you contribute to any of this? And we're kind of searching our way through, like, is there anything that you might have added to this? No, not in this case, maybe in other cases. But just the listening for parents is a huge piece that kids learn from, become empathetic. They become less about trying to perform and they become more honest people when they can actually tell you how honestly they feel, and we're not trying to fix it. It's hard to go there with them because it hurts us, our mama hearts. and our dad hearts for them. Not to put humor over it, to laugh, or to go build another friend group, fix it. So I had to kind of see how it would go through. And then I gave her some ideas. Again, you kind of get to give choices to kids to say, well, we could play down this scenario. What if you did this? No, that wouldn't work. Okay. What about this? I don't know. And then, so we're playing out scenarios because kids don't always know how something could play out. So we help them think through. And then I gave her the opportunity to try it. A couple times it didn't go so well. And doing more listening, more comforting, more caring for. What's so beautiful, you know, like a year later, is all those friends are friends and they learned how to go through conflict together. They learned about how gossip can be dangerous. Mm-hmm. They learned how to work on communication with each other. And for the most part, that is a really healthier, they're in a healthier place as friends. But that's the hardest thing for us parents in performance-based kind of pool is to fix it or to blame everybody else. And the grace place is to sit with our kids, to mirror, validate, and empathize with them, to put ourselves in their shoes and go, yeah, I would feel that way too. And give them space. And then maybe give them some ideas and let them choose. Give them some choices so we're not telling them what to do. And they're building muscles to kind of try things on their own.
So you guys have probably heard me talk about IXL before, and that is because I truly love it. IXL is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum or offers a little more support at home that balances your school curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies. It adapts to each child, meeting them exactly where they are. So I have one kid who gets a little bored in math class and he wants more of a challenge. So I've used IXL to give him a little more work at home and really push him in his favorite subject. And then I have another child who's kind of struggled through some of his math units. And so we use IXL to get him a little more practice before those unit tests so that he feels more confident. And it has seriously been such a helpful tool for our family. IXL is easy to use. Everything is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it really simple to find activities for the exact skills that your kids are covering. IXL also offers instant feedback and explanations of new topics as kids use the program. So it's really helpful if you're using it to get a little extra support and practice in a particular subject. Like my family, you can make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. And Christian Parenting Podcast listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL memberships when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Again, you can visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the very best price.
I love that story. Well, I hate that story. I hate that that happened.
It's a hard one.
It's a
common one, actually.
Yeah, I think it is a common one. My daughter's only 7, and I'm already seeing that stuff. I think it just happens really young with girls. So, but I love to hear that story because when you put in the work and emphasize the grace, and you listen, and you help your child to walk through this and to come out better, like you not only helped her, but you helped her friends too, to come out as a stronger friend group. And I just think that's really encouraging because it's not always about us as parents. It's not always about just our kids. It's about like the community as a whole. So I love that. That's a really good example.
Mm. Yeah. It's, you know, Steph, it's hard because I'm trained professionally to listen to people and to grieve. I always say that I'm like a professional griever and that I sit in suffering. But with my own girls, it's painfully hard. And so there's some regulating we have to do. And I think my natural bent is to kind of say there's no use crying over spilled milk. Get over it, find some new friends. Like that's my bent, which isn't a very good counselor bent, but in my human nature. And so I have to be very careful with my girls and regulate my own tendency to want to fix. And so I think that's the question for us parents and to recognize, why do I want to fix this? Is it because I don't believe, maybe I only believe that if it's of God, then it, then it's got to be good. And everything else that's bad is of the enemy. Well, I don't know. I see a lot of suffering from God's disciples that he doesn't rescue them from. And I see a lot of scriptures that point us to perseverance in trials. We don't always know the why. So not giving our children trite answers, we don't. We don't know why bad things happen all the time. There's three in scripture that are very clear. One is because of the fall and the brokenness of humanity. One is because God allows it. And we see that in Job. And that's a scary one for us, but it's usually one that's based out of his wisdom of growing muscles in us and our children. And the other one is because of sin and the cost of sin and just the consequences of our own actions. And sometimes we have no way to know which is which. When it's the cost of our own sin and our children's own sin, that's when grace is really important, where kids get to see what happens when I actually mess up. So in that situation, my youngest wasn't messing up. But there are times when they have messed up and it's looked different in how we have to approach it.
Yeah. And it's so important for us to have a good communication with our kids so that we can help discern which is which, mm-hmm. right? And walk through it properly yeah. with them.
They'll only trust us if we listen. I mean, honestly, children will lean into parents and their wisdom if they know that you'll listen to them first.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Thank you. So I want to kind of switch gears a little bit because I want to talk about girls since you wrote our Confident Daughters courses, you do Courageous Girls, you have two teenage daughters, and you kind of already shared a little bit about your daughter. And it just kind of reminded me like the importance of raising a daughter who's confident, but also doesn't feel like she needs to perform or hold up to an mm-hmm. image. And I think that line, as I'm discovering, raising a daughter is very fine. There's a fine line there between confidence and feeling like a need to perform.
There so is.
I even, like, one of my daughter's teachers at conferences was like, she's very good at doing school. Like, she's very good at sitting and knowing what to look like when she's listening and, like, nodding along. And I'm like, oh, I'm just going to remember that you said that. Because is that her? She's little. So I'm like, is that her just performing at school because she's supposed to? Or is that just who she is? Just something to, keep in mind as she grows. But I see it already. And it's hard to figure out which is which.
Yeah, that's such a good question. And I think there's kind of a bent. There's probably a third category, but the bent is the kids who perceive what's expected of them. It's a gift that they have from God, but they have to learn to kind of manage that and they can become, a chameleon. Whatever you want from me, I'll meet that need. You want me to jump high, I'll jump higher. And then there's the kid that you tell them what to do, they're going to go the other direction. And that's God's given wiring in them. And they tend to want to do their own thing and have their own way. And so you can kind of see the bent in even elementary age, sometimes even in the toddler ages, you can kind of see which way your kid's going to go. So tuning in and knowing who they are, speaking truth into them. I think the words and the words we use are really important. And so we have to slow down sometimes. And when we've messed up, we come back and we repair with our kids. But Adoniah, my oldest, is the wise old soul. There's other words for that are probably more shaming. But she can look really good on the outside. And she gets all the A pluses, plus, plus, plus. She loves to do the extra challenge. She loves to show up. And we've intentionally asked her to do with her knowledge, some things that she's not that great at, so she can practice not being the best at everything. And she's learned, she's a junior in high school, and she's actually seeing the benefit of that now. She didn't like it so much in middle school, but I think there was a lot of intention. I would say to her, I said, you show up and you do everything really well. God made you that way. You love excellence. You're really good with people, and she'll discern what the teacher needs, and she goes there. And I said, we got to be curious about why did God give you this gift? And how can you use it in tune with his spirit and not in a way that is trying to get adoration from people? To serve God and to serve man just doesn't exist in reality. I use the book, not my own, from Max Lucado, You Are Special. And I've been reading it to my girls since they were really little. I talk about this a little bit in my book, Courageous, because it was so profound for our family. But there's this little town, the Wemmicks, and there's this little guy, Punchinello, who doesn't perform very well. And he's going around town and he's getting all of these dots. The town gives dots and stars, and they give stars to all the kids who look the part, who are pretty or jump high or can dance. And the kids and the Wemmicks that don't perform, he trips, he says dumb things, they get dots. And he meets this little girl named Lucia, and Lucia doesn't have any dots and stars. So I've been talking to my girls about this Lucia all these years, about a girl who doesn't need the stars to know her value and worth, and doesn't, if she gets the dots, that she knows how to let those dots go. And what you discover in this book is that Lucia spends every day with the woodmaker, which is Eli, also God, and she spends time being reminded of her value and worth, a part of how she performs, whether it's a good day or not a good day. So the stickers don't stick on Lucia. People try to give her a star and they try to give her a dot, but they don't stick. And so Punchinello learns this from Lucia. So I've been talking to my girls about this since they were 3, 4, 5. This book, I still read to them when we go to high school camp. I read it to the girls. I read it at adult women's retreats. We all need a reminder that as we spend time listening to the voice of God, who's a voice of grace, who sees us, we don't have to perform all the time. And if we get a star, that's great, but it doesn't define us. And eventually that star drops. From us adults, we talk about it as like not believing your own press, you know? Going to the voice of God and what he says about you is the most important. So it's an ongoing conversation with our kids. They're not going to get it at third grade, but hopefully well into their young adulthood. I'm seeing it in my teenagers, them being able to show up, be who they are, do their what they can. And if they get a star, great. But at the end of the day, that's not what they're living for. They're living in relationship with a God who loves them, sees them, knows them, and delights in them.
Okay. Before we go, I feel like there might be some moms listening who are feeling like they have all the stars or all the dots and they just can't shake them. So what encouragement would you have for the mom who's feeling like that?
Yeah, you're not alone. We live in a culture like the Wemmicks. Everybody's given dots and stars and likes on Instagram. And then to be gracious with yourself that it's going to take some time. Time and consistency. It starts with a vulnerability and an honesty to say, hey, I've been living for stars or these dots. I've been hiding because I have so much shame from all the dots I'm living with. So starting with one intentional person, whether that's a counselor, a mentor, a friend that could be trusted, and start that conversation of confessing that and asking for prayer. And then maybe beginning a rhythm. You know, you can pick up my book, Courageous, Being Daughters Rooted in Grace. It's a process for us moms to really look at our own journeys and our own sense of worth and value, because we're modeling that to our kids and what we're living after. And then spending some time with the Lord. Sometimes I'm very aware of church wounds out there and a lot of pain. And so some of this can sound really churchy to certain people, but at the end of the day, there's no better balm than reading God's word and spending time with him. And over time, we will start to believe it. I have one more story, Steph.
Okay, I can't wait.
Well, I struggled with an eating disorder and I was full of stars. I was the girl that everybody gave stars to, and I didn't feel like I deserved them on the inside. It was super confusing for me. But that pressure is what I was living under, was to be what others wanted me to be. That's what I don't want us to do to our children. That's kind of why. So as mamas, working on our own stories and our brokenness. So in college, I took someone's word. They said, read Psalm 139, read it every day for 90 days, and then let's check in. I was struggling with bulimia, and I had been doing some counseling and had stopped the behaviors, but was really battling with the mindset of my value, my worth, and focused too much on my body and my image. And I started reading Psalm 139, and I put 139:14, I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. I know it full well. I put it up on my mirror in my college dorm. And every day I would read that passage, I would be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I would see that verse while I was getting dressed, and it was kind of a covering. And I will tell you, after 90 days, in addition to some other work that I was doing and grieving and naming things, I started to see myself differently in the mirror. I at the beginning of that 90 days, I thought, I'm ugly. That was a dot that I gave myself. And I had to be a certain level of beauty. That was the stars that I was holding on to from everyone else. But God's word was washing over me, and I started spending time with what Max Lucado would call Eli. And I just kept bathing in that. And by the end of those 90 days, I swear, I looked in the mirror and I was like, I'm beautifully and I'm wonderfully made. Mm-hmm. And what I know now about the neurobiology is that when we hang out in the same direction over and over and over, we're creating new neural pathways. So there is science behind this, and God's pretty clever in how he created us. And so when we talk about being in God's word, spending time in safe and trusted places, really grieving and letting God remind us who we are, spending time with women and men who remind us who we are and not add more dots and stars, our neural pathways start to change. And we do actually start moving forward in health and wholeness. So I just want to give hope that it does take time, but it is possible. It really is possible.
Thank you so much for sharing that story. I'm glad that you did. And for all your stories and your vulnerability and encouragement. I love you and I appreciate you so much. For people who want your book and all of your other resources or just to connect with you, can you tell us where to find you and find all that good stuff?
Well, you can go to christianparenting.org. And I think you guys have Courageous for sale, yeah, and it sure would support the ministry. You can also check out the Raising Confident Daughters courses, and that supports the ministry. If you want to learn more about the other things that I'm up to, from our podcast to our services, you can go to Tara Mattson, T-E-R-R-A, Mattson, M-A-T-T-S-O-N.com, and you'll see all the things I'm up to there.
And I'll put all that in show notes so people can find it easily. So thank you again for joining me. I'm really glad that you're here.
Thanks for having me, Steph.
I hope that you loved hearing from Tara today and just feel encouraged and also a little convicted to do the work you need to do to solidify your identity in Christ in order to help your kids do the same. I have links for everything in show notes for you, so check those out. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful week, and may you remember that God made you with purpose. He cares for you and wants to spend time with you. There is nothing his love and grace cannot cover in your life or your kids' lives. Thank you so much for listening to the Christian Parenting Podcast. If you haven't subscribed, you can do that now, and that way you won't miss an episode. You can connect with us on Instagram at christianparenting_org and see more resources at christianparenting.org. And if you're a mom raising daughters, we have the perfect course for you. Visit cpguides.org to learn more about our Helping Moms Raise Confident Daughters online courses. And lastly, if you have enjoyed this podcast or other Christian parenting resources, please consider donating to this ministry. Visit christianparenting.org and click the donate button. Christian Parenting is 100% donor funded, and none of this would be possible without your help. We are so grateful for you. You're amazing. God bless you.
What's standing between you and your first sale on Shopify? Time, expertise, resources? What if you could multiply all three? Product descriptions? Done. Store insights? Delivered. 2 a.m. customer questions? Handled instantly. Entrepreneurs on Shopify are reaching their first sale faster with AI that works with you. Go to shopify.com/firstsale to see how entrepreneurs use AI to grow their businesses faster. That's shopify.com/firstsale.